next 3 weeks, we're looking at fruit of the Spirit. And before I slide, I am going to move that out of the way. That would have been lovely, me skating across the floor, wouldn't it? Very graceful. Galatians 5:22 says this: the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, the context of this verse, if you remember, is that Paul is writing to the Galatians and he says, don't live your old way. Don't live in the difficulties. Don't live in all the things that are all the evils of this world. Don't allow them to influence your life. In fact, he says, just previous to that, don't drink too much alcohol. Don't allow that kind of spirit to influence your life. Allow the Spirit of God to influence your life, so that when you do, all these good things will happen. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the thing that I love about that, it says there is no law against these things. There is no law in the universe that says we can't love, have joy, have peace, have patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is nothing that can stop us from doing those things and having those things in our life. Those things are important for our life. And so Paul encourages us to live this different way. He encourages us to move away from the things that don't produce good fruit in our lives and to move into the things that do. And that's the power of the Spirit in our lives. And I know over the last little while, Ron's spoken a lot, and I'm just going to take my scarf off. Obviously warming up in here. Ron's spoken quite a bit over the last few weeks about just having the Spirit of God in our lives. Not in a weird kind of way, but just knowing that the Holy Spirit dwells within us and allowing the fullness of the Spirit to fill our lives and to make us whole. See, if you know anything about fruit, and my grandfather used to have some fruit trees inside of my parents, and I have a few, which don't get tended quite as well as my grandparents, I have to say, but they knew how to grow fruit. And my grandfather was fabulous at giving them the care and the nurture that they needed. And if you know anything about fruit trees, you've got to fertilise fruit trees, you've got to water them. You know, my orange tree wasn't growing well, and Brian's auntie said to me, have you given it any water lately? Oops. Maybe that was it. It grows beautifully when we get lots of rain and not so, you know, when it's a bit drier. Because I'm not giving it the care and nurture that it needs. But what does God say? If we're going to produce fruit, then you've got to tend it. You've got to nurture it in your life. And we have a fruit tree at the front of our place which occasionally gets care and nurture, and so it occasionally grows well. Theoretically, it's Tom's, not mine. Guess who looks after it? Yeah. But it's a lemon tree. Unfortunately, the lemon that it has on at the moment, because it isn't getting the care and attention that it needs, is a little bit warped and a little bit funny. And actually, our lives can get a bit like that. The fruit of the Spirit in our life can look a bit warped and funny if we're not tending to our life, if we're not caring and nurturing for our life. A tree, a well-cared-for tree, produces good fruit, seemingly without effort. But the more it's tended, the better quality fruit that it gets. And so in our life, if we're going to produce fruit, then we need to tend it. We need to look at it. And today, we're going to look at three of the fruit of the Spirit. See, God says if we have the Spirit in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit will grow when we exercise it. We have to have the fruit in our life because it's a result of the Holy Spirit in our life. So it must be there. The question is, what are we going to do with it? So I want to look at the first three this week: love, joy, and peace. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at the others. But love, joy, and peace. I don't think there's any particular order to the way Paul wrote these, except I do think he put love first for a reason. I think love was put first simply because everything else comes out of a life of love. And if we actually are living in love, then kindness, gentleness, self-control, all of those kinds of things tend to flow out of that. So we're going to look at love first. Romans 14:7 also says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat and drink, but living a life of goodness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. Very similar words, aren't they? Very similar words. So we're going to have a look at what they mean. Love. Love is the basis of everything we do. I said that just before. the commandments that Jesus said were the most important were what? Love God, love one another. And he actually says that the whole of the law is summed up in these things, to love God and to love other people. And if you know our City Life mission statement, girls, what does City Life mission statement say? Love God, love people, live his purpose. What's that all about? It's about love, isn't it? It's about loving God and loving people, and then out of that, living our lives. See, Paul backs up what he says in Romans when he tells people to love. And listen to what he says. Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love one another, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. So the basis is love. If we do nothing else in this life except love, we'll get it right. Because love is basic to everything. We have that expression, love covers over a multitude of sins. It actually says that, I don't have the reference for you, but it actually says that in the Bible. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we ignore it as such. What it says is we don't allow that to affect the way we love people. We don't allow what people do to affect the love that we have for them. That's really hard sometimes. Some people aren't very easy to love, are they? Some people are very difficult to love. Romans 12:9 challenges me incredibly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Cling to what is right. Love each other with genuine affection. Do you know what he's saying here? He's not saying just ignore and pretend that they never happened, but he's saying love others. Hate what's wrong, but don't let that affect the way you love people. It's a really difficult thing for us, especially when people who we feel should have loved us have hurt us. But our obligation is still to love. Well, how do we love? How do we love those who've wronged us? How do we love those that have hurt us? It's a really interesting question, isn't it? I don't have an easy answer, but can I encourage you to approach it with an attitude of forgiveness? Not easy, but if we can encourage an attitude of forgiveness, and then this is where the fruit of the Spirit comes in. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in and help you love where you can't. Because sometimes in our own strength, it's almost impossible to love some people. I often say, am I allowed to strangle that person? And somebody says, no, you're not allowed to. You've got to love them. I love them. Darn. You know, sometimes some people are just really frustrating, aren't they? And the last thing you want to do is show love and care for them. And yet always the Bible says show love. And it's out of the fruit of the Spirit. It's out of allowing the Spirit of God in our life to do that. We have to remind ourselves that Jesus died for every single one of us, not just the nice people. And when I can remind myself of that, then I find that it's easy to love other people. Jesus died for every single person. Whatever their situation, God died for them as well. And his love for them is equal as his love for me. And so I have to remember that. 1 John has a lot to say on love. Can I encourage you to read it's at the back of the Bible, little book of 1 John. It's such a small book, girls. It only has about 5 chapters, so it's really easy to read. But a couple of the chapters there, especially chapter 3, has a lot to say about love. And I'm just going to pick a few bits of it this morning. 1 John 3:16. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought also to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's how we love. We give up. You see, we think it's about us, don't we? We think it's about life being nice and easy for us. No, Jesus gave up his life for us, and we ought also to do the same thing. 1 John 3:18 is very similar to what Paul says in Romans. Dear children, let's not merely say we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. It's one of the scriptures that I had to learn when I was in about year 6 in Sunday school. I've remembered it ever since because it's a great one. You see, the fruit of our lives and the fruit of love in our life is by the way we behave. Love is not about saying, I love you. That's important. But love is about showing people that we love them by the way we behave toward them. That is really, really key. And sometimes it's easy to say, I love you, and then act in a way that is not loving because it's just words. And I think we have to get past that and challenge ourselves to get past the I love you words to the I love you action. Not easy, but let's challenge ourselves to do that. 1 John 4:7-12, he says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another." You get tiring sometimes, doesn't it? "Let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." The context of that scripture was to people who were Christians, to people who were already in the kingdom of God. And he's saying, you've got to have love. You've got to have love. He goes on and he says, "God showed how much he loved us by sending his son into the world so we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. See, God showed his love not so much by words, but by his actions." God showed his love for us not by 1 John 4:7-12 was the one I've just read. Yeah. If any of you want any of the notes or the scriptures, feel free to come and ask me about them later. I'm happy to help you with them. Yeah. Pam, I was just wondering, would you be able to grab a glass of water for me, please? Yeah. So the thing is that God really loves us. What he does is he says, "I love you, so I'm going to send Jesus to you as a sacrifice. I'm not just going to say that I love you. I'm not just going to tell you. I'm actually going to do something about it." And that's the challenge to us. How are we going to love? How are we going to show and grow the love in us? See, are we getting the picture? Love is action. Love is not a word. It is action. Oh, thanks, Anne. Thank you. Probably end up with three now. Thank you. So the truth is that we love and can love because God enables us to. We grow in our love by practicing putting the love into action. Because it's not words, it's not what we say, but what we do. As we get a greater understanding of who God is and how much he loves us, then it's easier to love others. And so the Holy Spirit in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, enables us to do what God's called us to do in this part. So I've got some questions here which you can think about and take home with you to think about. You don't have to answer them right now. The first one is, how can I show love to those around me? How can I show love to those around me? The other one is, who? Who specifically do I need to show love to? Who specifically do I need to show love to? And how am I going to do that? There are people in our lives that we really need to step up showing love to. And sometimes it's hard. But how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? The second one, who do it? So the first one was, how can I show love? The second one is, who do I need to show love to? And how specifically am I going to do that for that particular person or people, whoever they are in your life? I think these are questions that we need to challenge ourselves with, because always we come across people that are difficult to love. And as we grow and as we welcome other people into our lives, some of those people are going to have some pretty rough edges. And some of them are going to need lots of love. And we have to be able to approach those people with love and care and understanding. The second fruit that Paul speaks about here is joy. And joy and peace are hard ones, because they're kind of those thoughts that, you know, we think we throw around the word joy and peace, and I kind of wonder, do we really understand what they mean? Do we really understand what we mean? Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so we begin to understand that joy is actually found as a result of a relationship with God. But what is joy? What does it look like? I'm not sure that I can answer that for you this morning, but I'm going to give it a bit of a go. I think the first thing we need to understand about joy is that, like love, it's as we allow the Holy Spirit in our lives that joy begins to flow out. Joy is not happiness. Sometimes we use the word happiness to describe joy, but joy is not happiness. I don't have a problem with happiness. I think happiness is a fabulous emotion, and we should, you know, it's great to be happy. But we live in a world where happiness doesn't happen 100% of the time. Okay, stuff happens. We live in a world where some things are really quite devastating. And yet the Bible says that we can still in those situations have joy. And God will allow us to have joy. And you go, how can you have joy if I'm not happy? And it's because joy isn't happiness. Joy is not an emotion. It's something deeper than that. It's something that comes from within us and from our relationship with God. See, happiness passes, but joy remains. Joy is something that is deep-seated. Comes from an assurance in God that even in the time of difficulty, we have a God in whom we can rejoice and who will give us joy. It's a joy that comes from a relationship with God, not from the circumstances of our life. And that is the difference. When we talk about joy, we talk about the inner joy that God gives us as a result of our relationship with Him, not about the happiness we feel as a result of a circumstance, like a birthday party or a present or a meeting up with our friends. That's all fantastic stuff and it's all great. And it's really exciting. I love catching up with my friends. I love spending time with people. And I feel happy when I do that. But the joy that comes from God is not about that circumstance and how I feel. It's about the relationship with God and who He is that brings me joy. In Philippians 4:4, Paul writes, "Always be joyful in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." Well, how can we be full of joy or joyful in the Lord? Again, it's in the Lord. It's as we draw in our relationship with God that we find that joy. How could Paul say this? The situation he was in at the time was that he was in prison. So whilst he is in prison and he does not know whether he is going to live or die, and can I say the prisons of the time were not very nice. They were pretty disgusting. Probably full of rats. Right in the midst of one of the worst situations in his entire life, he says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. And you go, is the guy a complete nutter? No, he's not. The reason he can say that is he knows that his joy is not reliant on his situation or his circumstance. His joy is reliant on his relationship with God. We've talked about Habakkuk before, a very similar situation. In his dealings with God, he comes to the conclusion that God is the one who gives joy. And even if everything else is falling apart, he can say, because of God who is, I will be joyful in Him. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. See, it's a choice that he's making to be joyful because of his relationship with God. It's a choice that he's making because it's not what we feel. Joy is not a gooey feeling. Joy is deeper than that. It's an assurance that we have of who God is and of the salvation that he brings and of our place in his kingdom. It's based on internal, not external things. So, some questions for us to think about. In what circumstances do I find myself now where I need to choose an attitude of joy? In what circumstance do I find myself now where I need to choose an attitude of joy? What difficult thing are you going through at the moment where you're finding it hard? You say, God, regardless of what's going on in my life, I'm going to find my joy in you and in what you've done for me. Not I'm going to feel happy, I'm going to feel joy. You may be sad about a situation. I went to a funeral last week, as most of you know, I wasn't here. And the reason I wasn't here was because I was at a funeral of the father of a very close friend of mine. I've known this man for a long, long time. We were sad because he had gone. He was a lovely man. But we were able to have joy in the fact that we knew he had gone to be with his Saviour. We knew that he was a man. It was one of the best funerals I have ever been to, if you can say that a funeral is best. But his whole funeral was the story of a life lived for God. The story of a life of a man who found joy even in difficult situations. The story of a man who chose to leave a country behind even where things were fairly well off, because he knew that God was calling him to something different and to walk a different path. And all his life, regardless of what happened, and they faced all sorts of stuff, he chose to trust in God. And his joy, everybody said that this man had a joy about him that nobody else could see or understand. And it was because of his relationship that he had with God. And he was saying, my joy comes from who God is, not in my circumstance in life. And so even in the saddest time for their family, there was a sense of joy that God was in control still. And that's where it comes from. It's not a feeling. It's something that we know out of our relationship with God. So what circumstance do I find myself? I know that a lot of you are struggling with stuff. In that circumstance, where can I find joy? Who am I going to find joy in? The last one I'm going to look at today is peace. Love, joy, peace. Again, peace like joy is not an external thing and it doesn't rely on a peaceful situation. You can have peace in the middle of war. You can have an internal peace in the middle of war. Some of you may feel that what's going on in your life at the moment is a bit like a war. Can I say to you that in some ways we are in a war? We have an enemy that fights against our soul. We can have peace in that war because of who God is. Now, if you were to ask someone who's had a long walk with God about peace, like joy, they would tell you that the peace that they have doesn't come from the circumstance that they live in. I know that's kind of hard. But those people have known that their peace is not about the external. Again, like joy, it's about what's going on in people's lives. Mark tells us that the disciples were in a storm, and you can look it up in Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. Jesus is in a boat with his disciples. There is a storm. The disciples are panicking, and Jesus is resting peacefully, sound asleep, in the back of the boat. I love that picture because Jesus knew about peace. Jesus knew who his God was, his Father was, who God was. He understood that they were not really in any danger. The disciples hadn't got a hold of that yet. And they wake Jesus up and they say, don't you care that we're all going to drown? And Jesus says, because I care about you. And he stops the wind and the waves. And then he tells them to have more faith. It's like, you're great. Thanks. Thanks, God. But in that situation, Jesus understood what real peace was. Real peace wasn't based in his circumstance of the storm. His peace was based in his relationship with God. His peace was based in who he was as a person and in his standing in relationship with God. And I love that picture because what it says is that even in the worst storm in our life, we can lay our head down in peace and we can rest in God. I like that idea. And so one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. Like the other fruits, we've got to allow peace to grow in our life. We've got to tend it. Remember I said you've got to tend the tree? We've got to tend these things in our lives. We've got to put love in action. We've got to choose to have joy. And with peace, we've got to do something as well. Do you know it says it brings peace? I love it. It says in Philippians 4, it just says to tell God about the things that are worrying you. And if you open your Bible up there, and I don't think, Kate, can you just grab my Bible, which hopefully is floating there somewhere? Oh, well, one lost Bible. What it actually says, though, it says don't worry about anything. And you go, well, there we go. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need. And then thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ. Thanks, Ellen. See, if we look at those verses, Paul actually says that it's when we bring those worries and those things to God and we tell him about them that we can have peace. He also says in that we need to thank God for what he has already done. And if you're struggling to have some peace in your life, I think it's probably, because if you're like me, sometimes you can become a bit of a worrywart. Any worrywarts here? Yeah. we're worry warts, aren't we? We worry about family. We worry about stuff. We worry about, I know when the kids used to go on excursions and stuff, you kind of worry about them. And you're trying not to worry and just trust that God is in control. But what does he say? He says, tell God about it. Tell God what you need. What is the thing that is causing you anxiety at the moment? Tell God about it. Tell him what you need. Tell him about it. And then it says, thank him. You see, now if you're like me, what we often do is we worry about everything. We forget to talk to God about it. We tell everybody else how bad it is. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. We look at all the things that haven't happened that we'd like to happen. And what does the Bible say? The Bible actually says we're supposed to do the opposite. We're supposed to tell God, not everybody else. Now, girls, there's nothing wrong in sharing some of the difficulties in your life with your friends. That's a good thing. But what I'm saying is tell God first. Give it to God. Allow him to deal with it. And then get the prayer and encouragement and support from your friends. Nothing wrong with asking for prayer and encouragement and support. It's a good thing to ask for prayer, encouragement, and support. And some of us probably need to do it more often than we do. But tell God what you need. Give all your worry and all those things to him and thank him for what he's already done. Thank him for what he's already done. See, God's ways are different to ours. God says, look to me in this. Don't look at the situation. Look to me. Tell me what is happening. Tell me what you need. Thank me for what I've already done and then you'll have peace. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? Tell me how you go next time you have a situation that's really struggling. Will we give it to God straight away? Will we tell him what we need and thank him? Yeah, we might as a second thought, mightn't we? But let's practice that. Let's get good at telling God what the issues are and allowing him to deal with them. See, when we look to God, when we choose to bring our worries before him and we thank him for what he's done, it changes our perspective. Our perspectives begin to shift a little. Jesus said that he brings a different kind of peace. Not a peace as the world knows, but a different kind of peace. And it's that peace that comes from God, regardless of circumstance, but by thanking him for what he's done. Perspective's interesting, isn't it? Have you ever had a situation where you were feeling a little bit bad and upset about something? And then, yeah, sometimes it might be a trivial thing, but it seems big to us. Ever had those situations? And then you hear about someone else's situation and suddenly you think, hang on a minute, mine isn't so bad after all. See, perspective is a wonderful thing. I had a situation just recently because we've had to cut down a couple of trees at our place and I love my trees. I'm not specifically a tree hugger, but we had this beautiful tree at the front of our place and I loved it, but it had got into the drain pipes. And it was blocking them up and our bathroom was flooding every 6 weeks and then we'd have to get the plumber and he'd come and put his little eel down and it would go chomp, 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 chomp through and our bathroom would be great for 6 weeks and then of course the roots would grow again and eventually Brian said the tree's got to come down. I like my tree. I love my tree. I took photos of my tree. Anyway, last Friday we had a couple of other trees that got into the sewage pipes, which was even worse. Not for us but for our poor neighbour. So they had to come down as well. And see, the thing is, that tree that I loved, it was a tree. Like, let's get some perspective on this. It was a tree. But you know what? On Friday, I had resigned myself to the fact that these trees were coming down. I'd taken the photos I needed. I'd said goodbye to my tree and I went off and the day was okay. I got home and the people who were cutting it down, the chipper people, were still there. And I was starting to feel a little bit miserable. In the space of 5 minutes, I had a couple of calls from people about some stuff that was going on in their life that was really serious stuff. Really difficult stuff. Do you know what? It very, very, very quickly put my tree into perspective. It was just a tree and I can plant another one. Okay? See, some of the stuff we face in life is actually quite small, but we worry about it and we don't tell God about it and we don't have peace about it. And God gives us a different perspective. He says, hang on a minute. Look at it from my perspective. Let me deal with it. My ways are different to yours, but let me deal with it. Allow my peace to come into your life. Allow my peace to reign and rest and rule in your life. Perspective is about how we see it And if we change that perspective and we get God's perspective, then peace comes as a natural result of that. Because we can rest in God, knowing that we can trust Him. So here's some questions. What are you worrying about? What do you need to tell God about and leave with Him? And what can you be thankful for? What can we be thankful for? So what are you worrying about? What do you need to tell God about and leave with Him? What can you be thankful for? Ask the Holy Spirit to remember, to remind you to talk to God, get a God perspective. Peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. It's part of the work of the Spirit in our life to bring us peace. It's also part of the work of the Spirit in our life to remind us about things, to remind us and to teach us about what God is saying. And if we could just get, I think we would probably save ourselves a lot of time, a lot of emotional stress and a lot of emotional worry if we could simply give this stuff to God and allow His peace to come into our lives. Girls, I'm not saying it's just going to be easy, but I'm saying let's do it. Let's rise to the challenge. So the fruit of the Spirit is important to our lives because life is not just about food and drink. Life is so much more than that. And so as we grow, and over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the other fruits. So today we've looked at love, and we've looked at joy, and we've looked at peace. We've looked at who we need to show love to. We've asked ourselves that question. We've looked at joy and saying, what's going on in my life that I need to choose an attitude of joy? We've looked at peace. What do I need to tell God about and leave with Him and thank Him for so that peace can be part of my life? So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at patience. There's a goodie. Kindness. Goodness. I have a friend who reckons anything about patience should be ripped out of the Bible. She struggles with that a lot. But she's actually quite good at it. And then we have faithfulness, gentleness, and another lovely one that we all just love, self-control. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at it. Obviously, next week it's patience, kindness, and goodness. The following week will be faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want to remind us that there is no law against these things. We can do these things. We can step out and put into practice love, joy, and peace in our lives this week. So girls, as we come to the end today, why don't we just stand up and just bring this before God so that we can have His help and His encouragement in this as well. Father, I thank You. Lord, I thank You for all that You do. Father, I thank You that we can give our worries and our cares to You. That, Father, that You are the one that brings peace when we do that. Lord, I thank You that You want to grow love and joy and peace in our lives as part of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And I ask, Father, that You would help us to tend that, to care that, to grow in our relationship with You so that these things can be part of our life. And girls, if you're struggling with any of these things, just raise your hands to God now and just say, God, help me with this stuff. Help me to grow. Help me. Just while nobody is looking around or anything, just give it to God now and just say, God, I'm struggling with these things. I really need Your help in this. Father, I just thank You, Lord. I thank You for every woman here. I thank You, Father, that You are just wanting to grow and develop us in every way. Father, for those that are struggling to show love, I pray, Father, that You will show them how they can show love by what they do and how they behave. Father, for the ones that are struggling with joy in the midst of difficult situations, Lord God, I pray, Father, that they will be able to draw on Your strength and know that their joy comes from You and in their relationship with You and not in the circumstance. And Father, for peace, Lord, I ask for Your peace in the hearts of every woman here this morning. That we would grow and grow in that peace. That our lives would reflect Your peace in our lives. Again, Lord, regardless of the circumstance we find ourselves in. In Jesus' name, amen.